And now, the life of Mary Southern. A chance word, a phrase unduly stressed, a remark dropped accidentally, may lead to consequences unforeseen at the time. Consequences which may themselves have far-reaching results. When David Drake apologized to Mary for what he considered his unusual behavior, he did not know that this would result in her believing there was something deeper behind his words. Something which had caused him, for the first time since she's known him, to be secretive and evasive. Not even his protestations to the contrary could convince Mary that he was withholding something from her. Something which, as his friend, she feels that she must know. Mary, having said goodnight to David, waits for Dr. John Benson in the living room of the boarding house, which has become her home since her arrival in Craig's Falls. As she looks into the winter night, she thinks over the events of these months. She remembers her previous talk with David by the waterfront. She recalls a conversation with him there this evening. And to herself, she says,
"He's never acted this way before. As though he were holding back, keeping something from me. I hadn't noticed how he'd been acting. He wouldn't have noticed if he hadn't apologized. David apologizing to me. It doesn't seem sensible. It's hard to understand. I can't seem to put the pieces together."
Mary.
Oh, hello, Mrs. McPherson.
I thought I heard you come in. Did Dr. Benson come with you?
No, I came home with David.
Oh, then I better leave the porch light on for the doctor. I don't want, I guess, to get lost in the dark, do we?
No, I should say no.
Would you like something to eat, Mary, when the doctor comes?
Well,
I can make some sandwiches.
Oh, no, don't go to all that trouble. You just go out and raid the icebox if we want something. Thanks for the same, Mrs. McPherson.
Glad to do it if you want.
No, I'm sure it'll be easier this way. You may serve refreshments at Dr. Benson's meeting. If he doesn't want anything, well, I'm not hungry enough to bother.
It's nice seeing Dr. Benson again, isn't it?
Yes, I'm glad he's here.
Will he be staying some time, Mary?
Yeah, that's hard to tell. He'll probably be finished with Van Garfield in another day or so, but he has some other things to attend to as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, he hasn't said much about them except to a few people. Dr. Benson, you know, is one of those people who likes to know where he's going. John likes to have his mind completely made up before he lets you know what he's doing.
Well, that's the wisest way to be, all right.
You think it is, Mrs. McPherson?
Oh, sure I do. People don't go putting their foot in something if they're sure of themselves and sure of what they're talking about.
No one ever caught John Benson putting his foot in anything. At least not without malice or forethought. But there are people in the world who are entirely different. They sometimes talk before they think and question before they know what they're trying to find out and act before they're sure they're right.
Yes, indeed. I've known lots of people like that. Do things on the spur of the moment, not once in a while, as we all do, but as a matter of habit.
You know people who never plan, who always act without thinking?
Sure, Mary. Lots of them.
Well, that's funny. I can't think of a single one of my friends who isn't a pretty reasonable, logical sort of a person.
You can. Why, Mary Southern, I thought you knew more about people than that.
Well,
you must have been blind if you haven't seen. Why, good heavens, there's no secret. David Drake is exactly the sort of person we've been talking about.
Why, of course. I completely overlooked David.
I don't see how you could.
No, I did.
David's exactly that sort of a person. He doesn't plan. He acts on the spur of the moment. And yet, I think people like him probably get a lot of fun out of life. And give a great deal to others. They're not as likely to be, well, self-centered. They can see things that other people don't see. Their world isn't limited by rules or lack of imagination.
David's very much that way, isn't he?
Oh, very much, Mary.
And you think a lot of him, don't you, Mrs. McPherson?
Well, yes, I do. He's been sweet to me and considerate always. I don't feel awfully close to David. I feel people do, but that's the same.
Well, you and me are pretty close, though. You've known each other a long time, haven't you?
Well, not so long as years ago. He's only been boarding here since he returned to Craig's Falls. That was it was just 5 years ago. He reminded me of it the other evening. His fifth anniversary as my star boarder.
Fifth anniversary? That does seem a long time.
Well, not really, Mary, looking back on it. I can remember the day he came here, said he'd lived in Craig's Falls before and gone away and come back. And that day came up the walk with his suitcase, and he asked me if I had a room vacant. I never told him this, but I didn't really have one.
But I thought...
I gave him my room. I made him wait downstairs for hours while I moved my things out and tidied it up for him and told him to move in. And I took my things up the attic and I waited for somebody to move out.
Why did you do that? Had you known him before?
No. No, I never laid eyes on him before. I don't know just why I did it, Mary. There's something very appealing about the boy. Something I don't just know how to describe. A sort of wistful, almost helpless something that made me, want to help him, mother him. Suppose I'm sounding like a sentimental old woman.
Not at all, not for a minute. I can understand your feelings perfectly.
David's older now, but I still have that same feeling about him. He'd probably laugh at me if I told him, because he's one of the most lovable boys I know.
He's never worked since he came to Craig's Falls, has he? Since he came back, I mean.
No. No, he told me once he had a small income, and he doesn't need to.
I see. You know, it's a funny thing, Mrs. McPherson. David and I have been the best of friends since I came here. We talked about everything in the world, it seems, but, we've never talked about David.
He doesn't generally care to talk about himself.
Yes, looking back, I can see that now. Never occurred to me before. I never stopped to realize that he didn't worth it. That he really doesn't do much of anything. One doesn't question one's friend.
Of course one doesn't. And David, for the most part, has been quite content.
I wonder. When he came up here York that morning 5 years ago, where had he been, Mrs. McPherson?
Hmm?
Where was he coming from? What had he been doing?
Child, you asked me something I can't tell you.
Oh, I didn't mean to pry. I'm sorry. It never occurred to me before to ask David. I'm sure he'll tell me.
Well, perhaps. And perhaps not. I couldn't tell you everything about David Drake, even if I tried, Mary. I do know some things others don't know, but he's never told me everything. And some things I don't think anyone knows.
Well, good heavens, Mrs. McPherson. You sound as though there was something tragic, mysterious, almost.
Oh, sinister. I didn't mean to. I hope I didn't give you that impression.
But you did, a little,
you know. Oh, please try to forget it. I wouldn't for a minute have David think I've even intimated anything to you, Mary.
Well, I don't see why you're taking this so seriously. I only asked a very simple question.
And I said I couldn't answer it, Mary. And that's the end of it.
Of course, Mrs. McPherson. Quite all right. I'll talk to David soon. I'm sure he'll tell me everything I want to know.
I hope he will, Mary. It might be the best thing he could possibly do.
As Mary and Mrs. McPherson discuss David Drake, as Mary tries to find the reason for his unusual behavior, tries to pull aside the curtain that thus far has concealed his past, in his room on the floor above, David, unable to sleep, sees the car of Dr. John Benson stopping in front of the house. From his darkened window, he sees the methodical, forward-looking doctor entering the house. He stays by the window, staring into the black winter night. He thinks of his future, until now as remote from his thoughts as the distant stars.
You have a fine contrast, Dr. John Benson and me. But who cares? He doesn't. I doubt if Mary does. I'm sure I don't. Let the past be forgotten. Let the future take care of itself. Why worry? Where does it get you? Why go around the circle? Why torture yourself? Merely because a friend called you a waster, a drifter, a man who's thrown away the years. I'm a fool to worry. A fool to let him bother me. Yes, and a fool to apologize to Mary for something she didn't even notice. That proves she doesn't care. But it did give her something to think about. It raised a question in her mind. And what answer can I give her if she ever asks me point blank why I'm nothing but a wanderer? What sort of an answer can I possibly give her?
Mary, wondering for the first time about the things that have gone to make up the life of David Drake. David, unable to decide on a course of action. John Benson, trying to find a way to be nearer to the one woman he loves. What does the future hold for these three? Three people caught in currents which they themselves can neither fathom nor control. Tomorrow, Mary gives David good reason to ask himself again and again,
what answer can I give her if she ever asks me point blank why I'm nothing but a wanderer? What sort of an answer can I possibly give her?
Be sure to listen at the same time tomorrow to the next chapter in the absorbing story of the life of Mary Southern. The Life of Mary Southern. The human story of a woman who, in a restless, changing world, seeks peace, contentment, and security for herself and for her children.